You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this week we look into, well, we head to South Africa and we look into accusations of corruption, actually more like what is being called state capture against the former president Jacob Zuma. He's actually currently being heard by judges as part of an inquiry into these corruption allegations. State capture. So state capture is a little bit different from sort of classic corruption allegations, because when you think of corruption, usually you think about more so bribery. Mm. You think about sort of individuals or firms that offer money to people in places of power in exchange for sort of one-offs, preferential treatment that can be contracts, licensing, and so on.
Yeah.
State capture goes beyond that. So it's the manipulation of not only individuals, but more so trying to influence the legislation to protect and promote your private interests. So it's beyond the one person in power that can help you. It's trying to change the whole legislation, the whole public policy making in order to protect your own interests. So think about it as like, so the term was coined, I think, back in 2000 to refer to oligarchs in former Soviet satellite republics. Yeah. So it was this idea of people with lots of power that sort of insert themselves in the public policy making to not only kind of assert their interests financially, but make sure that this stays the way it is for a long time. It's also been talked about for drug lords in South America, cases like that, where people with a lot of money are trying to really be a part of this political system to get what they want in the long term as well. So why are we talking about this in South Africa? Well, what happened is that it's in 2016, there were accusations of potentially corrupt relations between Jacob Zuma, who was then still the president, and an Indian-born family called the Guptas. So it's three brothers, that came to South Africa shortly after the fall of the apartheid system. And so they've made since a lot of lucrative contracts with the South African government departments and other state-owned conglomerates. So their first business partner is the South African state. And these brothers were accused of using the close relationship that they had with then President Jacob Zuma and his family, notably his son, to insert themselves in the appointment of cabinet ministers and then influence the whole of South Africa's politics. So a former MP of Zuma's party, the African National Congress, the ANC, said that he was offered a ministerial position by the Guptas. She said that she was offered a ministerial position by the Guptas if she provided one of their affiliated company with a lucrative business opportunity. And there was another attempt appointing ministerial positions that was denied by... another attempt that at appointing ministerial positions that was denied by the brothers and Zuma, but claimed by one of these people that said, I was offered this position if I was doing this thing. Other public officials said that they were directly instructed by the Gupta brothers to make certain decisions that would protect said businesses. And these public bodies that are suspected to have been captured by this influence include the Ministries of Finance, Natural Resources and Public Enterprise, but also state-owned broadcaster SABC and transport companies like South African Airways and Transnet, which is a freight rail company, and also Eskom, which is a world energy giant. So it's not just the ministries, it's also state-owned companies that are looked into. And so it is the president's prerogative to not only appoint those ministers, but also any public official and state-owned companies, so boards of directors. And so it is believed that the Guptas were using that close relationship that they had with Jacob Zuma and his family to see, sort of oversee the appointment of people that would then favour their affiliated businesses by handing them over contracts, turning to their companies to operate certain things. So obviously both parties have denied the allegations. The Guptas have left South Africa. They left shortly after Jacob Zuma resigned from the presidency in February 2018. And he resigned partly because of a growing opposition within his own party and also because of these sort of allegations of corruption that were emerging because they started emerging in 2016. And it's interesting because already in 2007, Jacob Zuma denied accusation of state capture, so it's not something necessarily new. And he said that he didn't believe in state capture. And he said that whilst doing an interview with a broadcaster called ANN7, which is a channel that was actually funded by the Gupta brothers. So I like the irony of that. But yeah, today's commission of inquiry was only made possible because an investigation was launched by the Ombudsman in 2016 after a formal complaint was made. There was a report of this investigation that found apparent evidence of the interference of the businessmen brothers and some members of Zuma's administration, and it suggested the establishment of a commission of inquiry to look further into state capture, which is what we have now. So it's important to note that this commission is not actually a court of law, so there won't be any charges held against Zuma. More so that the findings of this commission will be put into a report that will then be shared with the current president and also the National Prosecuting Authority, who will then have the power to decide whether to prosecute and who to prosecute. And so this process could actually take a very long time. And so, whilst this happens, potentially years, state capture, if it happens to be true, could actually carry on all the while. But this week, the commission looks specifically into allegations of involvement of Jacob Zuma. Testimonies will be listened to throughout the week, and he will have, he'll be facing a certain amount of former ministers that now claim to have taken instructions from him. So during 5 days, Zuma will have to answer allegations made during the 130 plus hours of testimonies that have already been given to the commission. And that includes not only his relationship with the Guptas, but also with a company called Bosasa. That's going to be interesting because one of the previous executive of this company told the commission already that Zuma was on the company's payroll, which is interesting, and also allegedly received more than 30,000 New Zealand dollars, I did the conversion, in cash to undermine investigations into the company. So those are a few things that he will have to respond to. Zuma decided to take part to the public inquiry. He didn't have to actually be physically present, but he said he wanted to do it because he wanted to give his side of the story.
Right.
And his side of the story is actually that of a victim. He says that foreign intelligence agencies have been seeking his downfall for the past 30 years, I think, since the 90s. He claims that this whole inquiry is actually part of this plot to have him removed. Mentions, yes, those two big foreign intelligence agency that have recruited spies within the ANC to take control of South Africa. He kind of, throughout the entire day yesterday, he kept on portraying himself throughout the hearing as a victim of this conspiracy. He even calls that a character assassination attempt. And he actually went into details about attempts to murder him, to poison him. He linked this inquiry how he was removed from being the head of the ANC and the spy agencies. He kind of mixed it all together. But he actually said very little about the corruption allegations against him, which is kind of why he's there. He only acknowledged that he knew the Guptas and that he found them very friendly, in his own words, but he denied having ever done anything unlawful with them. He also said that they were just his friends, but they were also friends with Nelson Mandela. So, that's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
So the questioning will carry on until the rest of the week. It's not the first time that he actually has to answer to allegations of corruption. He currently faces a separate investigation into charges of fraud, money laundering, and racketeering that date back to 1994.
Interesting. Yeah. Are those charges actually within a court of law?
I think so, yes.
Right.
It's a separate thing, yeah. He also denies those, obviously. So this is also an ongoing thing. Just to finish and wrap it up, it's been estimated that state capture could have cost South Africa up to $160 million since 2015. So it's a lot of money that's being diverted from its purpose.
It's also interesting that's paired with stuff like South Africa within 2017 had their second recession within the decade. I mean, that's not uncommon worldwide, but
yeah, I think they also have
losses in the advanced economy to the kind of more common occurrence of these events. Perhaps there could be, if the investigation were to kind of set that up, perhaps be more links drawn.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to wrap up on?
No, I think that was me. This is ongoing, so...
Yeah. Stay tuned to find out more.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.